Right, the Emma says we're up to Simon Tovkov Tzadi Beis, and we're going to be starting Tefillas Musaf B'Kol Ram V'Seder Atkiyas, which is really important halachas. However, I've been pushing off for too long, and he came up yesterday, so I want to just spend a few minutes discussing the shaila of eating before making Kiddush before the Tkiyas. So it's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention anywhere, Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention anywhere, the Issa, or maybe the Heta, of making Kiddush and eating before mitzvahs tkiyas shofar. In order to understand the whole shaila, we need to know where it's coming from. So the shaila really comes from, there's no Shulchan Aruch that really forbids it. But there is a rule that before any mitzvah aseh d'oraisa, before fulfilling a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa, and many drabbanons as well, Chachomim said when the time starts that you can fulfill the mitzvah, not only that there's a concept of Zizim Akdim that you should try to fulfill the mitzvah as early as possible, not only that, but there's an additional issa. Chomim said that if you're going to start eating properly, Chomim was concerned you're going to end up forgetting. We all know what we look like when we start eating, when we're hungry, and we're going to end up forgetting fulfilling the mitzvahs. Therefore, Chomim assert, we know this issa very well, for instance, from Tanis Esther. After Tanis Esther, what happens after Tanis Esther? Right, straight we're going to the Megillah. Why do we not eat something beforehand? Why do we not have a bit of mezonis ready and a bit of drink ready? Why not? So it's true that under some circumstances you're allowed to drink water, but I'm saying on the whole it's true. On the whole you are allowed to drink water, under some circumstances it's not such a big call, you're allowed to. But nobody's going to start eating properly. Somebody's going to start what? We could read in theory, because you know after the Tanis it's Nacht, it's nightfall. Now go and we should all wash, see you in an hour, and have Megillah Esther then. Instead of having so hungry and rushing the Megillah, see you in an hour, make Megillah Esther. An hour later, nobody does that. And quite rightly so. Because in Issa, as soon as the Zman comes of Nacht, there is a mitzvah of Kriyas and Megillah, even the Rabbanon. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat now. You're not allowed to eat. Not because of the Tanis is over. But you're not allowed to eat now because the Zman has started of the mitzvah. The Zman of the mitzvah has started. Consequently, you must now do the mitzvah and you can't eat now. We know this concept from Dalet Minim. As soon as Sukkah's morning, you're not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat properly. Why? You're not allowed to make Kiddush and eat properly. As soon as the time started of Dalet Minim. You're not allowed to. It's a mitzvah. You can't eat. And that's the halacha that we find all across all the Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. We find this halacha that you're not allowed to eat once the Zman of a mitzvah starts, you're not allowed to eat. Okay, based on that, well, we know this concept from other areas of halacha as well. Now, based on that, the question is, what happens with Chelkei Tkiyas Shofar? Once we've got a mitzvah of blowing the shofar, mitzvah say the Reisa on the first day, the Rabban on the second day, we must blow the shofar. It says in the Torah, you must blow the shofar. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah morning, are we allowed to make Kiddush or not? That's really the question. So, now we appreciate the question. The question is based on the fact that every mitzvah, once the time starts of a certain mitzvah, you must fulfill the mitzvah, you can't eat. And therefore, Kiddush really is a question. And that's now we understand the question and severity of the question. Because there's an issa d'rabbanon of eating whenever the mitzvah starts. Now we can appreciate the question. What do you think, Abu Issa, about this? Shema, very, very good question. What about mitzvahs aseh d'oraisa of saying Shema? This is a very, very interesting question. There is a few answers to that question. There's a few answers. The simple understanding, the simple understanding is that there is a chazoka that you're going to still say Shema later on before you go to bed. So even if you're not going to say the three parshas of Shema, but you're still going to say the mitzvahs aseh d'oraisa, the min haTorah part of the mitzvah, is still going to say it as you're going to bed. And therefore, that's one approach, one of the various approaches, one of the numerous approaches in Achonim, why Chachomim didn't asa eating before Shema. But there is many people who are makbid. There's people who are not going to eat, people aware of it, they're going to be makbid, they're not going to say Shema. Unless they're going to say Shema before if it's Nacht ready.
Based on a chazaka, because you do that every day.
Yeah, it's more than a chazaka. It's actually part of the Seder Hayoim. Right. So this approach is the Achonim pointed out. It's a very good question. What about Shema? It's a really brilliant question. I'm just quoting you the contemporary Achonim, how they address this issue. But it's true that we always have. You're not allowed to do a mitzvah I mean, you have to do that. You have to. You're not allowed to eat before doing a mitzvah. So what about Kiyas Shofar? And we all know that there's many, many places make Kiddush before before fulfilling the mitzvah Kiyas Shofar. How does that work? Good. You're not allowed to fast. So that's an interesting point. It's brought down in the Achronim as well. It's the fasting, since you're not allowed to fast. Okay, we're going to explore that shortly. Mitzvah Shem, yes?
If you really want to ensure, you're not scared to go home.
Very good. So you're saying, okay, that's interesting. What you're mentioning is the concept of a shomer. Shomer literally means a guard. That generally when you have somebody that is going to guard you and he will remind you, in other words, he's going to remind you that, listen, hey, you haven't done the shemitzvah yet, that actually is fine. A shomer, according to consensus of the person, that shomerim help. However, a shomer who is having a feast together with you is a quite a weak shomer. Because just as much as you are likely to forget, he's in the same boat. He's also likely to forget. A shomer, according to the consensus of the poskim, is that a shomer doesn't help if he's in the same boat as you. If he's doing the same than you, he's not a good shomer.
Designate one person not to have any kiddush.
That would be a brilliant etzah. That would be a brilliant etzah. If you've got somebody that is not joining Kiddush, he would be a brilliant shomer, and that works according to many, many authorities. There is others who go a bit further than they're actually going a bit, like you are saying. There is poskim, that's mamash contemporary poskim, who are miyashiv de minnika oilam. They ask a question, how can it be? We're all having Kiddush, how can that be? So one of the approaches that is basically going the same route as you are, is saying, well, because it's very unlikely that we're all going to forget. This is a Kiddush. And this is something which one could argue with that. Is it, well, if you've got 20, 40, 60, 80 people sitting down having Kiddush, it's unlikely we're going to forget, and therefore the issue of Shema Yishkach doesn't apply. If this would be a rit for saying that, a ran or a prima godim, I'll be okay with it. But it's something which the contemporary poskim approach, and it's a very big Kiddush in that. It's a very big Kiddush. Mechtesi, who says? Maybe Chachomim, they say that we're all going to forget. Who says? I mean, you need a proof for such a thing, but that is something which is brought down in the Achronim. Yeah.
Could one reason possibly be why it's not is because one has a hiyo to make Kiddush before Hatzos Beyom, and if you're at a minyan where the tefillah's along,
right,
you might otherwise miss it.
Good. So this is very similar to your point as well about the issa of fasting and all that, that you need to eat something before Hatzos, or maybe a drop later than that. You're not allowed to go right across Rosh Hashanah fasting. It's true. This is true, and it's again, this is brought down in the poskim as well. The issa of fasting and Rosh Hashanah, right. This is true as well, and this is something which is added to the poskim, add that as well. The issa of fasting, and so maybe. But this is also a little bit question. What's the question about that?
There's a drink of water before you come in the morning.
Pardon?
Have a drink of water before.
Correct. First of all, you can easily break that issa by having a cup of water before you go to shul. That's for sure, according to all opinions, okay? And the issa of fasting wouldn't apply. So that's one point. Another point as well, that if it's really also, then the issa of fasting is unlikely to apply. The issa of fasting only applies if the issa of fasting applies. But if there is an issa to, if you're not allowed to eat, then there's no issa of fasting. So there'll be a bit of a catch 22. But the mice, as you're saying, anyone not fasting if you're having a cup of water beforehand. The mice, many places, I must say, as far as I know, the places that stick to Minhagim, many places that have clear Mesoiris, many Yekisha places, I think English places that keep to Minhagim, that they've had the Mesoiris for many, many years, all those places are actually Makbit. As far as I know, tell me if I'm wrong, the places, the Minyonim, the Shuls, which have got long Mesoiris, long traditions, they are Takamachmir. Am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're right.
Right? This is something which has been introduced over the last so and so many years. It's true that the Hasidim are generally Mekel. It's also true that the yeshivas have introduced this kula as well. Yeshivas, all the bnei yeshivas, all yeshivas are Mekel. And they base their psak on the reasoning that since davening is so long, and they feel that davening is so crucial, it's so essential in Rosh Hashanah, that we don't want to mess with the kavana. We don't want to spoil the kavana, and therefore we're going to be a little bit more lenient with regards to that, and therefore we're going to have greater kavana later on. Everybody agrees there's an element of a kula in that. Everybody agrees. They don't say that it's lechatchila. They agree. Everybody agrees, as far as I saw, everybody agrees that there's some kula. Some say it's a really big kula, some say it's a bit of a kula, but everybody agrees there's an element of a kula in there, because really, some poskim can point out that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anywhere that it's also with regards to Tkiyas Shofar. This is true, but it's only half the truth, because it's an Issa Drabon which applies everywhere, right? It's an Issa Drabon which applies everywhere. So just because it doesn't say it explicitly over here, it's quite a weak argument. Right, now, how much is actually included in the Issa? And that's really an important point. How much is actually included in the Issa? And that actually goes, that's actually a big help, because that actually, that's an important point. So everybody agrees that you're allowed to be Toyim. Now, te'ima is a very minute amount. You're allowed to make Kiddush and have a te'ima. You need to have it more than kezayis because of Kiddush. But you're not allowed to have more than te'ima. Te'ima, I think that the most lenient poskim, and I think that's generally what people do, is about 100 gram. How much is that? How many pieces of cake is that? If it's a... how much is that? 100 gram? How many pieces of cake is that?
I don't know. Is it one or two? The
lower
heavier the Kiddush?
Yeah, how much? Yeah, okay, one slice, two slices. That would be called two, one, two. It's not very much. That's te'ima. That's a te'ima. That's more than that is according to all the opinions also. There's no doubt about it. Nobody, I couldn't find any reasonable approach why more than a te'ima should be permitted. Te'ima is fine. Te'ima is fine. Yeah, the te'ima, there's strong reason to be machmir for te'ima, but te'ima is mutter. Mutter v'yesh mokum lahachmir. Mutter v'yesh mokum lahachmir, as opposed to more than a te'ima, which is also. Yeah. I didn't see anything. If you find anything which I can't see any reason to be machmir more than a te'ima. That's quite hard. Drinking is unlimited, by the way. Fruit is also fine.
So is that even with a
shoima? No, right. Yeah, right. Shoima is it lechatchila? Yeah, I think you could even say it's lechatchila. Yeah. Yeah, it's based on a certain kula, but it's an accepted kula, and therefore you can call it. You can basically call it chatchila. It's not brilliant, but it's, you can call it, it's fine. Yeah.
So when they make kiddush, the rav should say two pieces of cake.
He assumes that everybody knows that. If you find out any additional approaches, if you can think of any additional approach why it should be permitted. I'll tell you one svar that I saw, which I liked. I'm happy to share with you, but I'll tell you what I saw. There's one of the contemporary poskim, recent poskim. He says the following. He says, we find a halacha of Shemo Yata if you have got a candle, a flame, there's a chachot, you're not allowed to read Le'oir HaNeir, you're not allowed to read a book next to it if it's dark, because on your own, because maybe you're going to tilt and you're going to be over and you're going to be making the fire, you're going to extinguish the fire, making the fire greater, and that's an Issa D'oraisa, Shemo Yata. So chachamim were concerned, don't read by the one light. If you've got a shomer, it's fine. If you've got a God protecting you, it's fine. If you don't, it's... What about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, very interesting, Yom Kippur is fine. Because we're not concerned that this is going to happen. Because Emas Hadin, the fear of the judgment, is on you, so you're not going to end up doing anything. Everybody on Yom Kippur feels a bit different. We all feel a bit different on Yom Kippur. And therefore, we're not concerned. So says that one of the poskim says, tell me what you think about it. He said, well, if this is what the Gemara says with regards to Yom Kippur, you can probably stretch that a little bit and apply the same reasoning also with regards to Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, nobody's going to stretch and eat forever and ever and ever, because it's all Rosh Hashanah. We're all just about to fulfill the mitzvah, say, of Tkiyas Shofar. We're all not going to eat tonight because we all have the fear of the judgment on us. And therefore, we're not concerned that you're going to stretch that and eat we're not going to forget the fulfilling the mitzvah. And therefore, you're allowed to eat. That's what all the poskim said. What do you think about this, Svara? You like it?
Yom Kippur is
not the same as Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. I fully agree to you. How can you compare Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur? Point number one.
It's very nice, but
presumably that's brought down somewhere about Yom Kippur, about being allowed to read
it. Certainly is, yes.
And if you could apply it for Rosh Hashanah, yeah. Not brought down by Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, very true, very true. It's a very nice svara, but you need a gemara for that. You need a gemara for that, or at very least a rishon. It's a very nice svara. I mean, although yes, there's a bit of a sticky point over here to compare Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, but never mind that. You need to have a very, very strong source for that. It sounds like a nice svara. It may be okay to melamed schos. If you see people do that, you can maybe say, you know, they're not avaryonim, they're not doing an avera, because you know, but it's definitely not lechatchila. Right. So this is that. This is the halacha, and yeah. Very interesting. The yeshivas. So the yeshivas do it. All the yeshivas do it. And I actually asked the contemporary Rosh Yeshivas if they saw that by their fathers, by their previous Rosh Yeshivas. And the answer was clear cut. Yes, they did. The Litvish yeshivas have been doing it for many years. So the answer is yes. So what was your question again?
Because you mentioned before that it's a recent thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so it's... Yeshivas having a real minig, the fact what we call the minig of Bnei Yeshivas is something which is recent compared to other minhagim, other mesoiras. The Anglo-Saxon mesoira is a lot older than minig of Bnei Yeshivas. There's no doubt about it. So and all these minhagim, which I'm talking about genuine, proper, registered minhagim, are a lot older than that. So that's what I was referring to. Yeah. Okay. So that's with regards to that. Does that make sense? What do you think about that, Boisai? What do you think is that?
When you were in yeshiva,
me personally, I'll tell you something. Because I was brought up in the Ege, I was lucky to be brought up in the Ege. They were very strict about it. I was a kid, I didn't even know why, but it was unheard of. And therefore, I never. You know what? A week later on Yom Kippur, everybody manages. Yeah. Okay. But again, a te'ima is permitted. Yeah. What you?
That's a good point. A week later, we can mention.
Yeah.
Never thought it was.
Yeah. Okay. So see if that's this topic, and it's very interesting though that the Mishnah does mention that. By the way, somebody once asked the Motcha Tzukumen. So I'm going to finish off with that. Ramat Chatzukum was a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim, who was very close to Chavetz Chaim. I was there still to speak to him a few times, and I didn't have the sense of asking, but somebody else asked him, and it's printed, and asked him, Ramat by the Chavetz Chaim in Radin Yeshiva, what was the minhag? Did they eat before Tkiyas Shofar or not? And then he says, yes, they did. They made Kiddush before Tkiyas Shofar in Radin, Chavetz Chaim's Yeshiva. But he said, you remember, kid, Chavetz Chaim himself didn't, those Yeshivas there didn't. But in Radin Yeshiva, they taki did. So, yeah. But it's interesting. I must say, it's a bit of a question mark to me why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it anywhere. It doesn't bring it anywhere.
Maybe doesn't want to contradict.
He wasn't, he was normally quite... If he felt it's okay, he would write it's okay. If he felt it was wrong, he would have put his foot in Yeshiva. You know what I'm saying? Generally, he was very... It's interesting, but yeah. Okay. Okay, Seif Aleph. Machzir Shliach Tzibo Hatfile. The Shliach Tzibo goes over Musaf. Ve'toikin al Seder HaBrochos. And then we do Tkiyas Shofar during the Chazoras HaShatz. Le'malchis Tashrat Pam Achas. Listen to that. For Malchis, we do once Tkiyas Shvarim Tru'a Tkiyas. Once. Ve'lezichoynes Tashat. For Zichoynes, we do Tkia Shvarim Tkia, for the Shofres Tarat, and for Shofres we do Tkia Tura Tkia. So how much is that all together? That's how much is that? That's right, 10. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you did 30 by the Tkias, the Meyushev, 30 initial Tkias, and then after doing Chazal Shatz, you do 10. Tashat, Tarat, and tashrat and tarat. Ve'achshav noyagim, and now the minig is litkia lemalchis tashrat shalosh pa'omim. The minig now is, says Shulchan Aruch, to do tashrat 3 times for zichronis, tashrat 3 times for zichronis, ve'leshofres tarat shalosh pa'omim, and shofres you do 3 times tarat. That is the meaning of the Shulchan Aruch. What does the Ramah say? As that's probably, that's maybe how you do it. You remember how you do the So the Ramah says as follows, and that's, let's see if that's our minik. The Ramah says, "V'yesh oyim shetoykin tashrat lemalchis pam achas." Says the Ramah, our minig is to do tashrat once, tashrat for malchis once, tashrat for zichonis, and tashrat for shoifres. That's the minig in our countries. Okay, so let's stop here. That said, the Ramah says the minig is to say tashrat for tashrat once, twice, and a third time for chazal shat. Is that what we do? This is not what we do. What do we do? We do it three times, right? We don't do. This would be an additional 30 tkir, an additional 10 tkirs. We do 30 tkirs doing chazal shashats. We'll see into why. By the way, I checked up. I've got, Baruch Hashem, I've got quite a selection of antique machzorim in my house. Not all of them are Yerusha, but I've got quite a number. And I checked up, and without exception, besides the very, very modern machzorim, the art scrolls and the really, really contemporary machzorim, all of them, they did only tashrat. They only did 10 during the whole Chazal Shashatz, like the Ramah. So it seems to be quite a recent, that's what it sounds like from my machzorim that I've got, it sounds like it's a recent thing that we do so many tkirs during the Chazal Shashatz. Seems to be quite, how do you do in your shul? I'm sure they only did tashrat once, and then once for Zichronis tashrat, once tashrat for Zichronis, and once tashrat for Shoifres. Yeah, correct. Yeah, correct.
The
correct. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what he says. Now, there is a very interesting question over here, and this is Mishnah Bosef Cotton Gimel. But before we get to that, I want to do Sif Cotton Aleph and Sif Cotton Base. Sif Cotton Aleph, Machzir Shliach Tzibur Bet Filav. Yesh Mekoyim Shenagin Litkar Shemispal Milachas. There is place of the minik of blowing during silent Shemoneh Esreh. When do you blow? When do you blow? During silent Shemoneh Esreh or during repetition? Repetition. Right? Have you ever seen places that blow during silent? As Hasidim do. Hadas does. Really, that's so strange. Introduce this minik. That's really, because that's really the Hasidic minik. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Aval ein lino iken lechatchil." He says that. He said that ideally shouldn't do that. Shlo yival b'la mispalim, because he confused the mispalim. Umashlim and oisun achat filo. We do the additional tkiyas not during the silent Shemoneh Esreh, rather we do during the Chazal Shashatz. Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't do lechatchil, but certainly accepts that there is such a. It's a registered minig, and it's a minig that is brought down already in very early achronim. That is a registered minig, and one is allowed to continue that minig, of course. I mean, Mishnah Berurah sounds very strict over here, but I have no doubt about it that somebody's got a minig, Mishnah Berurah would encourage him to stay with that minig. It's just if you start off a new shul, then you should probably do it in this way. Yeah. Yeah, that's what Mishnah Berurah says, yeah.
Do the Hasidim have for blowing at the time that they do?
Very good question. I can't answer your question fully, only partially. This is their minik. They are obviously not concerned about people getting confused. They think that it's not going to confuse them, and it's and that's what their minik is, their Masaira. I assume that many of their minogim are based on Kabbalistic concepts. I assume it has to do with that. But I don't know.
Thank you.
Not straight from the Gemara?
The Mashmos in the Gemara, you can't see in the Gemara. I remember that when we went to the Gemara, there was actually you could learn the Gemara easily both ways, yeah. Yeah, the Rishonim over there, on the Rishonim, they're certainly Mashmos, one way or another, but from the Gemara, you can't bring a proof. Sifkotn beis in Mishnah Berurah. V'toikin b'chol tkiyas shel shloish ha'sdorim halalu tzichin ha'tokev Hashem lamed b'shas tkiyas. For those tkiyas, you need to stand. Okay, for those second series of tkiyas, you need to stand. V'lefichach, and therefore, nikron tkiyas demod. They are called tkiyas demomet. They are called the standing tkiyas. Why? Because you must stand. As opposed to the earlier tkiyas, the first tkiyas, when we make the bracha, when it's the first series of tkiyas, you can sit really halachically. The minhag is not to sit, but you could really sit for them. Over the avid, im yoshvu yotzu, but if somebody b'diavad did sit during the tkiyas, the moment b'diavad yoytze. But yeah, b'diavad yoytze. I'm going to finish the Ramah, because the Sifkot and Gimel I'm going to leave for tomorrow, because that's really important. Let's just finish the Ramah. Says the Ramah, after blowing, we say, which refers to the creation of the world, because Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation of the world. Which is said, even on Shabbos, we don't say Resh Tfaseinu because that refers to the Tkiyas. We don't blow on Shabbos. By Yom Aras Oilam, which is talking about the birth of the world, that has nothing to do with the Tkiyas. You say that even on Shabbos, although you don't blow the Shofar. So let me just say Mishneh Busif Kotten Hei, which is interesting. We'll finish off with that. Mishneh Busif Kotten Hei, Yom Aras Oilam, V'tishre Nivra Oilam. Tishrei, the first of Tishrei, the world was created. Even according to the opinion, the Gemara that holds, that the world was created on Nisan. So how can we say, Hayom Aras Olam, today is the birthday of the world? Is that even if you hold that the world was really created in Nisan, nevertheless, you can still say on Rosh Hashanah Hayom Aras Olam, because it went in the mind, as it were, of the Ribbono Shel Olam to create the world. He thought of that already in Tishrei. On Rosh Hashanah, he thought of it already. It's true that the concrete creation happened in Nisan, but the thought itself was on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you can't say, it makes sense to say, Hayom Aras Olam, even according to that opinion. Okay, we'll go through Sifkot and Gimel tomorrow, because it's really, really important.